If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Every other Friday at this time, Dr. Dana Varble joins us. We cover so much medical on this show and on this radio station that it's kind of nice to find somebody that can answer medical questions for your pets, your companion pets. And she not only has worked on every animal imaginable, but she owns quite a menagerie herself. Thank you for joining us, Dana. How are you today?
Always good to be here on a Friday, Lisa.
Okay, let's talk about rabbits. This is a time of year that the feed stores are overrun with people who want to go in and get their kid a bunny. And we just saw the rabbits that were rescued in Chicago on April Fool's Day that had been so badly abused and bitten up, and somebody just dumped them in a park, and exactly the people who should not share their homes with these kind of animals.
With rabbits. Yeah, I think it's people that mean well, but they don't quite understand what they're getting into with the purchase of a rabbit. So it seemed like this time of year around Easter, people start to think, wouldn't it be cool to have my very own Easter bunny? And I love the sentiment, but remember that rabbits are like a 7 to 10 to 12 year commitment. So it's really very similar to owning your cat or dog. You're going to have to go shopping for food. You're going to do litter box training. You're going to need to spay neuter. Even yearly vaccines are required now. So there's a lot that goes into the purchase of a rabbit. And while they can be amazing pets, if you have a smaller space, you don't want to walk a dog, you're allergic to cats or don't want to do a cat, they can be great. But just keep in mind that what you're committing to is a pet that requires ongoing care and love and attention as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a commitment. Speaking of that, I had a friend who went to a shelter on the South Side, adopted a cat. This is someone who's had cats her whole life. And within a half hour of bringing the cat home, the cat attacked her so violently that she had to go to the hospital. I mean, the wounds were sizable. And and so she, you know, thought, okay, you know, I'll try and give this cat a chance. Isolated him. And after two more attacks, she called the shelter and they came and got the cat. The shelter has since gone on to just trash her on social media, saying that she had to isolate that cat immediately when she came home. When you adopt a cat, are you to isolate it immediately when you get home?
Well, I will say this. It's not a bad idea, but, you know, I guess I always wonder in these situations, you know, are we all communicating using the same terms? When we talk about isolating animals when you first get them, it's a little bit of a give and take, right? Like, especially cats or dogs that come from a shelter situation can have upper respiratory tract infections, diarrhea, that you don't want your other animals exposed to, first and foremost. But also, they're extremely stressed. They're extremely abnormal. So, you know, they're just in this very heightened state. So you do want to give them some quiet space to acclimate and get accustomed to the house and just generally get settled in. But now we as humans don't worry about catching your cat's upper tract infection. So, you know, it's a little strange just when we say isolate. Yes, we want to give them a few hours, often in the kennel, to just quiet down. But at some point, we need to go in with them and introduce them to our sense of smells, feed them, provide them a litter box, provide them a little human contact. And it sounds like with your friend, like, this happened right off the bat, which is really scary. So, you know, animals, I think we forget that they can be really unpredictable. You know, we're so used to our dogs and cats that we know so well that we sleep with and nap with and, you know, hug on and love on. And we know our own dogs and cats' limits. That sometimes I think it's easy for us as humans to forget that cats and dogs that we don't know may have different limits. And I don't like blaming anyone in this situation, neither the shelter nor the adopter. Some animals in that stressful period behave in ways that are really unpredictable and not the way they're behaving in a shelter and not the way they would behave in a month. But it can be really, really challenging to bring a new animal in your house. So you do want to be pretty cautious. Clearly, I hope your friend's okay, though.
Yeah,
my goodness.
Absolutely. All right, coming up next, I saw an article in Chicago Tribune about probiotics for cats. We'll talk about that. And if you have a question for Dr. Dana Varble, she is the chief veterinary officer for the North American Veterinary Community. She is more than willing to take your question. Text it, 312-981-7200. This is 720 WGN, and Dr. Dana Varble is with us, and Carly is on the phone. Carly, what is your question for Dr. Varble?
Hey, good afternoon. I just had a question about permethrin. I have a cat at home, and I'm going to go spend some time in the outdoors, and I'm going to treat my clothing and gear with permethrin, but I'm going to have to come home with it, and I'm worried about, I heard how poisonous it was for cats, and I wondered if you had any suggestions about what I can do to protect my cat.
Yeah. So, yeah, we sometimes call it permethrin. It's a good question. I actually don't know how it's pronounced, but that's a great one. So this is it's a really important product to repel insects, and we do use it in some dog products. It is not as much, it's certainly not used as much in cats because it can be toxic. Now, permethrin is a little different than permethroids. Long story short, they all come from the chrysanthemum flower. And while, you know, if you're treating yourself, the one thing that I would do, because we don't want ticks on ourselves either, is if you treat your clothing, you spray your socks, your legs, I would simply put that clothing in a place that your cats can't get to it. So it might mean that that clothing goes inside a little garbage bag and goes in a laundry room or in a closet where you can close the door until you can wash it. The good news is once you've washed the clothing, you don't have to worry about it as much. Now, small amounts on your clothing, if for some reason your cat were to like run in, rub against your leg, probably not a big deal. You can use some baby wipes or any sort of bathing wipes to wipe off your cat. It tends to be a problem when cats ingest it. Now, again, with cats, when they get something on their fur, what do? They turn around,
they lick it off,
they ingest it. Yes. So it definitely can be a problem. Some versions of that are safe for cats, but it is one I tend to avoid with cats if at all possible.
Here's another cat question. It must be cat day today. Dr. Dana Varble, a question from an area code I don't even recognize, 563, but they said they have a 2-year-old cat who goes pee in the litter box, but also has been peeing on my bedroom floor her entire life. How do I get her to stop? Man, that's a good human that puts up with that.
Yeah, in a bedroom. Yipes. So, you know, cat litter box behavior is like, that's like, I think you could probably just get a PhD in just cat litter box behavior because it's always interesting to me. So when we have something like that, we have inappropriate litter box. Well, we have appropriate litter box use and inappropriate litter box use in the same animal. So with that, I would say if you've got a situation that works for them, so you know there's situations where they use the litter box, can we mimic that in the area that they're not using it appropriately? So as much as you don't want a litter box in your bedroom, I would probably think about putting a litter box in the bedroom. Do your best to clean up. There are several products you can use to kind of deodorize the carpet, the floor. It can be tough. But if you put a litter box in the area and they start using it, you can, one, if you catch them using it, reward that. Maybe a little cat treat here would be a good idea. And then you can gradually maybe even try to move it out of your bedroom. So, for example, if you get them using it in the bedroom, maybe the next shift is, I'm just going to shift it into the hallway here so that it's not in the place where I don't want them urinating. But it's going to have to be real gradual. You got to get them using it well first before you start moving it away from the area that for whatever reason they decided is their bathroom.
And here's the deal. This probably won't work in this situation, but they do make pieces of furniture that incorporate a cat litter box. So they walk in the little hole of what looks like an end table or a table under a window, but I don't know how your cat will react to that. Someone said, is there anything you can do for rear flank alopecia on my bulldog?
Bulldogs. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
and their skin.
They're a lot.
Their skin. They are tough. You know, they are, unfortunately, a breed that is notorious for skin problems. You know, it can be a patterned baldness thing. So some bulldogs just seem to have areas that they don't grow fur. So in those cases, I'm going to be honest, there's not much we can do. But I would talk to your veterinarian and make sure we're not dealing with any sort of skin infection or allergy issue that could be making it worse. Because sometimes they'll kind of start there, you know, and then it can be tough for them to regrow hair in certain areas, though. So talk to your veterinarian, make sure that it's truly a lost cause before you give up. Because, again, they're also prone to things like allergies and other diseases, especially endocrine diseases, that can cause some changes in hair pattern, too. And I'd hate to miss one of those.
Oh, and the person who has the cat that pees in the bedroom, she said, I tried that, and she went pee on the floor next to the box.
Oh. Keep trying. Keep trying, because you know what that's
telling
me, though? Well, in that case, you're getting closer.
Absolutely.
You're getting closer. You're not there yet.
Always lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. And tell people where the website for the North American Veterinary Association, that is a wealth of information.
Yes, NAVC.com is for the North American Veterinary Community. Have your veterinarian visit us as well. Thanks so much.